ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, Text 20. Gomutrena sthapayitva puna goraj sarvakam raksham chakrusha shakruta dvadasha sangeshu namabhi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The child was thoroughly washed with the cow urine and then smeared with the dust raised by the movements of the cows. Then the different names of the Lord were applied with cow dung on 12 different parts of his body, beginning with the forehead as done in applying tilak. In this way, the child was given protection. Text 21. Gopeha samprushta salila angeshu karyo pratak snayatmak nyasta balasa bijanyasamak kuruvataha. Translation. The gopis first executed the process of achman, drinking sip of water from the right hand. They purified their bodies and hands with the Nyasa Mudra and then applied the same mantra unto the body of the child. Purport. Nyasa Mantra includes achman of first drinking a sip of water kept in the right hand. There are different Vishnu mantras to purify the body. The gopis, in fact, any householders, knew the process from being purified by chanting Vedic hymns. The gopis executed this process first to purify themselves and then to purify the child Krishna. One executes the process of Anganyas or Karanyas simply by drinking a little sip of water and chanting the mantra. The mantra is preceded with the first letter of the name, followed by Anuswara and the word Namaha. Om Namaha Jas Tang Grihi Avet Mam Namo Manasam Tva Januti Avet. And so on. By losing Indian culture, Indian householders have forgotten how to execute Anganyas and simply busy in sense gratification without any advanced knowledge of human civilization. Oh. So in this verse we get the scriptural reference of importance of cow protection. So after Krishna kills Dimanesh Putna, and the gopis and Mother Yashoda naturally were concerned about the child's safety. And here they are performing the process of purification, which says the child was washed thoroughly with cow urine and then smeared with the dust raised by the movements of cows, means Goraj was applied on his body. And the tilaks were made and applied on the 12 parts of his body. And the tilak was made of a cow dung. And as we put with Krishna's name, tilak all over our body, similarly, with the help of cow dung, the tilak was made. And as Lord Krishna grows up a little bit more, then he starts playing in Goshala. And instead of playing with any artificial toys, he would play with the calves and the cows. And that would give many times the anxiety to Mother Yashoda, because there is a good chance that Lord Krishna may get injured by the feet of cows, they may trample upon him. And she would always remain in anxiety and get the little Krishna away from Goshala. And the scriptures describe that Nanda Maharaj had a special cows, the name was Padmaganda. And the speciality of this cows was that everything from this cows was having a special fragrance of lotus. So whether it's a milk, curd, buttermilk, cow dung or cow urine, all these items had a special fragrance of a lotus. And as Lord Krishna and Balaram, they grew a little bit more, Lord Krishna would take this cow dung, mix with cow urine and make some balls and put it on the body of Baldev. And this is how they would throw these balls of cow dungs over each other's body. And after watching this, Mother Krishna would ask them that whether you were Lord Varaha in your past life, that's why you're putting all over body these things and look like that. And then little Krishna would reply in return. He said that in anger you are saying, accusing me like this, but actually in fact I was Lord Varaha in my past life and what you are saying is true. And this is how Lord would always play with calves, especially first when Lord would go close to the calf and the calf would smell the Lord Krishna's body, his divine fragrance. And then immediately the calf and the cows would go in ecstasy. And then they would start dancing, jumping here and there. And then Lord Krishna will just catch the tail. And then the calf would drag the Lord Krishna everywhere in the Goshala. So this is how in the scriptures there is a narrations after narrations where little Krishna and Balaram would always play in cow dung. And Mother Yashoda had to keep cleaning them again and again. If you see, like many times people find, especially those who are unaware of importance of cows or cow dungs, they feel that how awkward this is that the Indians, they throw this cow dung all over their courtyard or they decorate their walls in the house with this cow dung. And many of them, they find it that this is unclean habit, that how the stool of one animal can be applied on one's courtyard. I just heard there was one news that came in BBC and they did some analysis of this cow dung. And then they found out that it has got one thing in that, which is called serotonin, which enhances the brain power of a child. So we don't need these kinds of material benefits. But the point was, everything in Vedic culture was beneficial for one's health as well as his spiritual consciousness. And whereas, like, if you see this modern paint that is applied on the walls, which has got a lead content, which is in fact harmful for the development of brain, and especially the children are more vulnerable for that. So modern man may accuse the Indian culture as a backwardness, but in fact with their own inventions they are proving the contrast for us. And Bilwamangal Thakur would describe in his literature that how Lord Krishna, when he would hear the movings of the cows, immediately he would jump and go after them. Whereas this the Brahmins, Yajnik Brahmins, who take so much of hard work, they learn all these mantras, then they arrange a big sacrifice, and then they sit and with a perfect rhythm they pronounce all these Vedic mantras, and still Lord Krishna doesn't even look at in their directions. Whereas a simple a voice of a cow, immediately Lord Krishna gets up and runs after them. So this is how we understand that how Krishna is stating the principle of love of cows, and then Krishna will be satisfied with those people who serve the cows. And we find, like, what is the recognition of Vrindavan? In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear that Uddhava was sent by Lord Krishna to deliver a message to gopis. And he leaves from that place, Dwarka, and as he comes close to Vrindavan, and moment he sees there were big number of cows, so many cows were grazing, he understood that he has now reached Vrindavan. And when he reaches Vrindavan, that time almost it was like evening time, and all over the places the dust of the cows was raised. Those who have seen in villages, they can see all the cows in the villages, they will go for grazing in the forest land, and evening time all of them will come back. And when they come back in the big numbers, everywhere you will find the dust raised by the cows. And that is very auspicious. It's called Goraj Muhurt also. In previously, the marriage ceremonies would also take place on that auspicious hours. And as Uddhava came, but his chariot remained unnoticed because everywhere this dust was raised by the hoof prints of the cows. And as he enters in Vrindavan, evening time, everybody milks the cows. So everywhere, like, there is a pot, and then that particular voice that come when you milk the cows. So wherever he looked from that place, he could hear all the milking sounds and beautiful sound of flute. Lord Krishna was playing flute. By hearing the Krishna's flute, the cows would give profuse amount of milk. And he could see that the bulls are running after fertile cows, and the cows are coming back with the udders full, and the calves are running towards them. So this was the sight Uddhava saw when he entered the Vrindavan. And then later on he meets Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. As we find, Lord Krishna stopped Indra Puja, and then he told that all demigods, they reside in the body of the cows, and all tirthas reside in the hoofprint of the cows. So anyone who has a faith will get the benefit of that. Even if it is said, like, if you have a cows in your house, then whatever may be the defects of that place or vastu dosh is not applicable to that place. Why? Because Lord Krishna himself describes that all the demigods reside in the body of the cows, and hoof print of the cows will all tirthas reside. So that's why the dust that is raised by the hoofprint of the cows is also auspicious, as well as it is a portent. It's just like Gobar, which is being mentioned over here in this verse. It is like when all demigods, they get place in the body of a cow. Lakshmi also desires to have some place. So she goes to Mother Cow and requests her. And first Mother Cow refuses, saying that because you are chanchal, you cannot stay at one place. You are restless. So I cannot give you any place, because a person who is restless cannot be trusted. But another Mother Lakshmi pleads that if you insult me like this, then all others also will insult me. So at least give me some place. And then Mother Cow says, then you can reside in Govard. And Lakshmi becomes very pleased that I have a place to reside. And then when we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a Gopi Geet sang by the gopis, where they describe that when Lord Krishna goes to the forest, his lotus feet are as soft as blue lotuses, Neel Kamal. And they get pain feeling that his so soft lotus feet are pricked by the stones or by the harsh grass in the forest. It's just like there is another incident where Aristasur comes to Vrindavan and Lord Krishna kills, and then Srimati Radharani rejects Lord Krishna, saying that you killed a bull. But Lord Krishna says that he was a demon. But Mother Yashoda, but Srimati Radharani says that he may be a bull, he may be a demon, but he was in the form of a bull. So that's why you have to take the prayaschitta, you have to take the atonement. Or you have to purify yourself, then only you can touch me. Till then, you cannot touch me. And then the whole pastime of appearance of Radha Kund and Shyam Kund takes place. And we find like even in Venu Geet, where all the gopis, they describe that when Lord Krishna is going towards the forest or coming back from the forest, it's just like Krishna is playing with his on his flute, is accompanied by Balram and other cowherd boys and surrounded by all calves and cows. When he is moving out or coming in, is the highest perfection for one's eyes. And that's a scene they always would store in their hearts. So this is how we find there is so much ample description is given about Krishna and his lilas with the cows and the calves and its importance. It's just like in describing the Govardhan. So Govardhan is described as a Haridas Varya, is the best of all servants of Lord Krishna, because he provides comforts and everything to the cows, calves, cowherd friends. It gives them a grass, water, as well as the caves and fruits. So all these things are offered by Govardhan Parvat and assisted in Krishna and his cowherd friend in his serving to the cows and the calves. And that's how he attains the highest position as Haridas Varya. And the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam we hear when Maharaj Parikshit, he arrests the Kali. And then the bull and the cows, they speak. So the cow says that when Lord Krishna was present on this earth, I was treated like a goddess of fortune. So that was the fortune or importance of cows given by the Supreme Lord. And we find nowadays in Kali Yuga, what is the symptom of Kali Yuga? Is the cows will be beaten, they will remain hungry, often they will remain calfless, they will always be crying, sad, and they will be brutally killed. So this is the scenario of Kali Yuga. You will find when you travel in the cities also, there are herds of cows grazing around the garbage cans, some of them trying to find some food, and eventually whatever some food is stuck to the plastics, they eat that and the stomach gets filled with the plastic bags. So this is the pathetic condition of the cows in Kali Yuga. Even in, like, if you just go about 200, 300 years back, even Mughal emperors were ruling this country. Even that time also, there was dignity to the cows, and to a large extent, the cows were protected. If you see the histories, many Mughal emperors have issued orders not to kill the cows, especially on the festivals of the Muslims, where on the large scale they killed the animals. So even those days also, there was strict orders issued that anybody who kills the cow will be dealt with severely. And in those days, the kings would make laws and they were implemented. Not like today, where the laws are made, but government is incapable of implementing them. So we find even in those days also, there was a great amount of protection was given to the cows. But after the arrival of the foreigner Britishers, the situation started changing. Because when Britishers, they came and then they wanted to rule this country, so they were figuring it out that how they can rule this country. And when they saw the how this whole country or the Vedic civilization is that all the villages are self-sufficient and the cows are the backbone of the economics of Vedic civilization. And if we want them to rule, if we want to sell our products to them, then this backbone has to be broken. Because that's a time in the West there was industrial revolution, advent of industrial revolution, and then there was a need to sell those mass products into different countries. And that's how slowly, slowly this propagation was made. Because previously the whole trade was local, all villages were self-sufficient, and because of that, then who rules the country wasn't much different to the common people. They would just pay required amount of tax and the whole economy was a local and they could sustain that. And we find the Vedic culture, what Britishers observed first was the food and water is free, education is free, and the medicines are free. In this Kali Yuga, all these three things are the biggest income generating industries. It's like whole restaurant business, then whole pharmaceutical business, insurances and medical claims. And education also has become very, very expensive. Previously, the gurus would maintain all his students, and the students would, through their work and efforts, would sustain the educational institutions. So what one has to pay through his nose nowadays for the education, for the food, and for the medical facilities were totally free in Vedic civilization. And Britishers had to change this system. And if you find even the Constitution of India, where it's mentioned that the cow protection should be given the topmost priorities, not just because the cows are sacred to the Hindus, but cows are the backbone of economic structure of this country's for many centuries. And this is how it is mentioned in the Constitution of India. But somehow or other, the laws, appropriate laws, couldn't be made, because in 1958 the Supreme Court gave one judgment wherein it gave a little loophole. It said that the cows will not be slaughtered, but only those cows over 16 years of age can be slaughtered. So those time some people gave some statistics and proved that these are useless animals and the farmers cannot maintain them and it's an economic burden for them. And that's how there should be a permission to kill the cows which are old, useless, and the farmers cannot maintain it. And that was a judgment given by the five Supreme Court bench, five divisional bench of Supreme Court, and because of that, whatever laws were made subsequently couldn't come in force. And now what happened is, this is how the loopholes will be misused. The veterinary doctors would issue the certificate saying that this cow is either disabled or old, and they would charge just 1 rupee for that. Because you can understand how much they are earning, because cows are slaughtered in thousands and thousands of numbers. So veterinary doctors would just issue 1 rupee by taking a certificate, by taking 1 rupee, and so much cows get slaughtered. And if you find from the eastern states of India, where there is the Odisha, Bihar, and West Bengal, from West Bengal the all cows will enter into Bangladesh. And Bangladesh, the whole economy of Bangladesh is exporting meat. And it exports over 1 lakh tons of meat every year. And if just that thing is stopped, the whole economy of Bangladesh will collapse. And if you find in southern states, from all other states, the cows will go to Kerala. And from Kerala, it will be exported to Middle East countries. Or the Middle East countries that put a pressure that if you want oil, then in exchange, you give us the beef. So this is how we find that government is unable to do anything about these things because of the pressures. It's like so many Indian leaders right from the beginning, Mahatma Gandhi also made one statement, for me cow protection is more important than the Swaraj. And the first Prime Minister of this country also did a lot of agitation in Lahore when one slaughterhouse was opened. But somehow or other, we don't find anything is done concretely in this regard nowadays. Because we need a proper directions to society, and the direction has to come from Shastras. The Shastras should be the guiding principles for this society. If you are not based, or your faith is not based in Shastras, then what else is there is your own mental concoctions. So that's why nowadays in the West, US, the theory is propagated that raw milk is not good for health and a pasteurized milk is good for health. So in there is some states, there is a law where you cannot sell raw milk. But the whole human civilization sustained many centuries drinking raw milk. So what is suddenly that has happened now, that it has become unfit for human consumptions. So this is why these things happen, because the whole system has made as the dairy system, instead of the farmers maintaining the cows has to be maintained in the dairies. Like so many times, like people ask this question, is it economical viable to keep the cows? Or is there any model where we find that there is a few, some amount of land, cows, and family lives off the income generated from that? As far as many centuries, the civilization sustained in this way. But now, when we speak like this, people find it very difficult to understand that. It's because that modern man is so indoctrinated and acclimated with this artificial living, urbanization and consumerization, that he doesn't understand these things or doesn't even understand the value of these things. Because nowadays, how it makes sense in agrarian society, land-based society, cow-based society, but when you bring in urbanization and consumerism and commercial dairy concept, then maintaining cows becomes uneconomical. Because when the commercial dairies comes in, then a lot of farming equipment, a lot of costly farming equipments will come, and a lot of tractors, big silos you have to keep. Then we'll have to pay hefty fees to the veterinary doctors, and then so many modern equipment for pasteurizations, and then it has to be transported to urban places and distribution systems. So when all those things are involved, then to keep unproductive bulls and the cows, those who don't give milk, becomes difficult. So that's how they say, like, excess milk and unproductive females are sold. Then only the economics of commercial dairies work. Otherwise, it will not be possible. So wherever there is a common pasture ground is available, or there is a forest is available, where cows can graze freely, then yes, on the large number of cows can be maintained and it will be economically viable. But when one needs to buy a fodder and everything, then it becomes difficult to maintain a cow. And previously, a lot of land was available for cows for the grazing. In fact, if you see the land records, there was area demarcated in each village, which is called Gautan or Gocharan Bhumi. That's a place designated for grazing the cows. And now all that land has been taken away by the farming or for the urbanization or for the constructions. So all natural pasture grounds are taken away. And previously, what was the Vedic system? Most of the time, one person would take all cows of the village to the forest for the grazing. And in the evening, all the cows would come. They will milk the cows. And then on the cow dung patties, on that stove, they will keep the milk for boiling. And they would drink this hot milk. And then after that hot milk, whatever is milk is remaining, they will convert it into curd. And from curd, you get butter and buttermilk. So even if you get unexpected guest, you can always supply him the lot of buttermilks. And this is how they sustain their livelihoods. And then definitely Gobar was such a good manure for agriculture purpose. There was no need for them to import any chemical fertilizers. And that's how they had self-sustaining economics. So when you talk about these things, like all the present-day economic problems, we find that the Vedic ecosystem was beneficial for the planet and beneficial for the people. Whereas man-made systems that are there, whether it's capitalism or communism, either they are collapsing or always face many serious difficulties. I just recently, US credit rating was downgraded. Once upon a time, like US credit system, US Treasury was considered as the most safe, and dollar had like a commanding position. And then there is an endless debate is going on that whether this downgrade system is correct or not. But many European countries also are facing this crisis. Because this economics based on artificial needs are self-destructive. It's just like we are destroying all our natural resources, which actually we should have kept it for the future generations. And sustainable economic systems are always localized, self-sufficient. It is nature and God dependence. So that has to be understood. We are listening about the interaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the cows. And there are ample references throughout all the Vedic literatures by which we understand that how the taking care of the cows will be pleasing to the Lord Krishna. And once Lord Krishna is pleased, then whole human civilization can be satisfied, can remain content, and can become more prosperous. Whereas a modern man, for its own sense gratification, they try to exploit the cows. The cow is just considered as a milking machine, and agriculture is considered as the factory. But all these things are personalities and very dear to Lord Krishna, and they will reciprocate as per your behavior. And ultimate economic principle is Lord Krishna means if you follow the laws of Lord Krishna, then materially you could become prosperous. This exact principle is unknown to the modern man. And they are thinking that with their own intelligence, they will figure it out, their own economic systems, and they feel that they are becoming prosperous. But we keep faith in the Shastras, and we love cows because it's a Shastric injunction. That's what pleases Lord Krishna. But for modern man, it makes no sense that why we should not dispose of useless animals. Because once the cow stops giving milk, it's considered as useless or unproductive. But the fact is that even if it is not giving milk, it will keep giving you urine, it will keep giving cow dung, which will be so essential in varieties of way for agriculture and for other medicinal uses. So this is how we understand our things, and we keep faith in the words of the Shastras. And for us, the guiding principle is whatever studies in the Shastras, and we don't follow the self-concocted ideas or any other ways of understanding the thing. So here we find that Lord Krishna will be definitely pleased if people take good care of the cows. In fact, like nowadays, so much emphasis is given for the cows, whereas in the Vedic system, the bull was given more importance, because once you train the bull, it will be useful for you for your rest of your life. And that's how when Britishers wanted to destroy Vedic culture, first they destroyed is the male calf called Nandis. Because they know if the Nandis are killed, then their progeny of the cows will not be good. And then it will be easy for us to prove that they are uneconomical to maintain. So the first attack was on the males. That was the main important of the cows. And we follow the scriptures where Haribhakti Vilas very clearly says that one who follows the cows, one who feeds the cows, one who circumambulates the cows, and such a person attains all the things because Gopal, the Lord Krishna, is pleased when the cows are pleased, and a person who serves the cows, a civilization that serves the cows, and then only a person can be satisfied and remain prosperous. So are there any questions?
Because the cow dung and urine are highly valuable, that cow urine sells for about 70 rupees or so per liter. So if there is a mechanism for collecting these things, then why it would not be viable to maintain?
The first thing is, the whole system is not accepted by the modern man, that cow urine can be used in many different ways. Because if they do it, then who will buy the chemical fertilizers, who will buy all these pesticides and other things? So whole media is being used for propagating that how those things are best. Even though there are so many medical reports, they prove the harmful effects of chemical fertilizers, the GM seeds and so many other things. But still, the government is propagating. Because that's what will happen in Kali Yuga. The people will have their own ideas of becoming prosperous, and people will have a vested interest. And at least I have not heard where the cow urine is being sold at 70 rupees. So we need to get the facts correct.
Pashpalekar.
Yeah, but I also stayed in the villages and seen many places. And I have not come across those speakers. Because many people exaggerate these things. And as you mentioned the name, I know. So, see, it has its use. The cow urine, you can make so many medicines. But it has to be taken under the guidance of Ayurvedic doctor. What happens is, like, some people give excess stress on propagating the economic aspect of the cows. And then, in that process, then they make so many claims of this sort. And then, you need to distinguish between the foreign cows, Indian cows, and you get into that whole sort of loop. So, our strategy is, of the cow protection is, we spread Krishna consciousness. So if we spread Krishna consciousness, people become devotees, then naturally the demand for meat will reduce. And second thing is, in our goshalas, we keep the cows and we take nice care of them, and we keep a nice example in front of the people. So that is our strategy of cow protection given by Sri Prabhupada. And this is where we proceed. And definitely there are a lot of uses of cow dungs in and cow urine for the agricultural purposes as well as the human health, but it has unlimited applications. Okay. Yes.
Generally, we discriminate between the Indian cow, Desi cow, and hybrid cow, or Western cows. If there is any difference, or we consider, we sometimes we worship the hybrid cow. Did Krishna will be with us? Or Indian people are not right now in mood to take care of the Desi cow because of the milk. They are not giving much milk as the hybrid cows are giving. And that is economically very difficult for the people also. So in village also very difficult because right now the people are thinking just to our money. So and they have not examples as you say previously. So what do we mean discriminate between the two, Indian cows and hybrid cows?
So as far as this is concerned, I asked this question to authorities in ISKCON was Balbhadra Prabhu, who was a minister for cow protection for ISKCON. And he gave me the reference of when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, and I think 1968 he started New Vrindavan community. I mean, our movement was started in 1965-66, and within 2 years he established New Vrindavan community. So we can understand how these farm communities were in the minds of Srila Prabhupada that immediately started. And the land was purchased and the cows were purchased. And we know, like, Lavangalatika Mataji was there in Roha. She was there that time in New Vrindavan, and Prabhupada asked her to purchase the cow. And she purchased that cow named Kaliya. And when Prabhupada drank that milk, Prabhupada claimed that in the last 25 years, I have not drank milk like this. So for us, we got introduced to Krishna consciousness, to Vedic culture, to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada did not distinguish between them. Because last 25 years, before 25 years, Prabhupada was staying in Vrindavan. So when Prabhupada made that statement that this milk is good, so that means Prabhupada did accept that. In fact, there was a letter written in 1971 by Srila Prabhupada to Rupanuga, where he said that, why don't you import these cows to the Goshalas in Vrindavan and Mayapur, so that they can give good amount of milk. Of course, it was never done. But point is, we accept authority of Srila Prabhupada. And I asked this question to many other senior sannyasis in ISKCON. I don't find they distinguish between two. So that's why I made the statement that when the excess importance is given only to the economic benefits of the cows, I mean, you have agenda to save cows, that's fine. And then to save the cows, then you say that these are the economic benefits. And then you get into all this cow medicine business and cow product business and try to propagate that thing. And then you need to distinguish this. So best is we, and all these ideas come from the literatures of Mayavadis. All this, because I can give references from where people are quoting. So we follow the mood of our founder Acharya in ISKCON. And we ignore these things. We know that if you serve, worship Jersey, Holstein, all other cows, I think Krishna will be pleased, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. Because if that was of that importance, then Prabhupada would have mentioned us that they are superior. He would have said, made a reverse statement saying that you import, invest, this breeds of cows. He didn't mention that. So why nowadays, it has come recently, Maharaj calls it as a caste systems. So we shouldn't introduce this kind of casteism unnecessarily and follow the moods of Srila Prabhupada. You had questions.
Prabhuji, you mentioned that previously Gocharan Bhumis used to be there. And that's why that model was working, having some land and cow. So does it mean that now we should be just hopeless that because Gocharan Bhumis are not there, that if somebody wants to have that model, like a small farmer or somebody in the village, they have 2-3 acres of land and 1 or 2 cows. So does it mean that it will not be possible?
What I made is, if you want to keep cows in large numbers, then you need the common pasture grounds or forest land. If you want to keep the cows in the small numbers, then it is possible, depending on the which agroclimatic zone you are situated and what kind of resources are available. And there are quite a few examples of non-devotees who have made this as a success, where the land, cows, and they are self-sufficient. They grow everything from their land. But basically, their lifestyle is very simple, much simpler than our lifestyles. So that's where the crux of the matter. When your lifestyle is simple now, then you don't have to work hard for so many artificial needs. So they stay very simple life, and I could see they are very much content, satisfied, and good quality of life they are leading. Because I keep meeting so many people in, because of agriculture and these things, because of this project, and I have seen that a good number of examples are there. So it's not that we cannot do that. But if you want to keep it in large numbers, then yes, definitely, the common pasture ground and forest are necessary. Yes.
In the West, there are many communities. Ideally, they want to be ecological and be self-sufficient. My question is it possible for them to be self-sufficient and ecological without protecting the cows?
Without
protecting the cows? With no cows in the village?
Yes, there are examples where people are self-sufficient, but they don't keep cows. So I have seen some farmers who are totally self-sufficient themselves, but they don't keep cows. Because like, you know, we are devotees, we have certain lifestyle. They are like social workers. So if you keep a cow, it's like one additional members in a family. You can't lock your house and go somewhere else. Somebody has to be in the home. So for those people, they have social cause or some other activities in their mind. But their otherwise example is perfect. Everything, 3 acres of land, all the needs that they have, it's grown in that 3 acres of land, and family is sustaining nicely. But no cows. Yes, it will work for long run. There are live examples of that, many. Because yes, you need cow dung for agriculture purpose, but there are other different methods also, green manure and some other methods, by which you can retain the fertility of the soil and work that way around. Because he keeps traveling for social purposes, these people are unable to keep the cows with them. But still, but the cardinal principle is their living style is very simple. And they just remain content what they grow from that. And then they have some other purpose in the life for which they spend their time. They say, it depends on your situation. Like if you want to be localized and if you have more family members, if you can take care of thy cows, it's the best. But the thing is, you have to work out your resources, how much resources you have. If you don't have resources, then how you'll maintain the cow? Because cows will multiply in number. Every time it number grows on increasing. So ultimately that decision has to be taken individually depending upon resources and what he wants to do in the life. But both examples are available.
So in Vedic culture, we protect the cow because it will provide the necessity for human civilization. So ecologically, maybe many communities will be able to sustain themselves for a while or for just separate families. But for a society to be prosperous in a human civilization, is it important for them to sustain the cow, or they can, without sustaining the cow, maintain some human civilization, which is...
If you talk of human civilization, then definitely the existence of the cows is essential. It cannot be eradicated, because otherwise the base of agriculture will go down. So what we were discussing were a few individual examples. what is possible. So, and that's why now you find most of the cows are now in the goshalas. Instead of farmers protecting it, mostly it has to be organized, and this cow protection has to be subsidized. And unless this, the oil west economy collapses, this importance will not come up. But now the prices of the oil is increasing, so to do agriculture with the oil is becoming slowly uneconomical. So now again people are going back towards the bull. Even US also, there was an article where US, some of the US farmers were thinking that it's more economical to have ox than go for the tractor. So those things will come. So once this natural resources gets exhausted, then again it has to come back. That's what happened in Cuba, where they had to go back to the basics, go back to the nature. So the cows are essentially, it cannot be, if cows is taken out, then human civilization will end. That's for definite. What I said is just a few individual examples where they made it. One last question we'll take. Because I deliberately ended class a little early so that I knew there will be questions. Yes.
Prabhuji, my question was that in the beginning of your class you told that Krishna will be pleased when someone serves the cow. So simply serving cow is the criteria to please Krishna, or like, because many of the goshalas, as you were mentioning, they are just only serving the cows instead of the intention to please Krishna, without intention to please Krishna, just economically or something socially to maintain that status. So how it will be like?
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with one astrologer, and then the astrologer, when he sees his chart, and then he starts saying that you are such and such and such, all those things. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, no, I was just a simple cowherd man. And last life, I served the cows. And because of that, now, this life, I got the birth in Brahmana family. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that even if somebody just simply serves the cows, he will attain the piety and he will progress further. So even if like person may be doing cow protection for whatever reasons, but simply serving cows will definitely give him a piety and he will be elevated slowly upwards. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.